T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Jacob Albrocht, Tommy Caster. This is Sports Daily on Wichita's number one sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Welcome in. Welcome to a Tuesday edition of Sports Daily. It's Jacob Albrocht with Paul Savage filling in here today for Tommy, who's trying to get back on the mend here as we get you ready for another big week in the sports world. We've got a KU game to look back at. We've got a Wichita State game to look forward to tonight. We've got Team USA taking on Iran in a huge World Cup win or go home environment for the Americans. We'll get into that as well. Lots of great stuff. Dan Israel, executive producer of the Chiefs Radio Network, joining us at the top of the second hour. We welcome in Paul Savage, Jad Chambers producing for us. Paul, how are you this morning? Night. Did you catch a little KU basketball or did you catch a little Monday Night Football?
Caught a little of both. I mean, I'm checking in on both of them, obviously. You got to keep track of everything, you know, as far as that goes. And it was an interesting game. You know, the Colts, I've kind of had a fascination with the Colts. I'll be honest with you. Hard Knocks does that for me. You know, two seasons ago, it wasn't this last season, that was the Detroit Lions. But the season before that was the Baltimore Colts. Indianapolis Colts. Boy, that was a flashback, wasn't it? But the point is that the thing about Hard Knocks is that it kind of gets you into that spirit. It makes you have an interest in certain people. You know, the new coaching situation with Coach Saturday, with the firing of Frank Rich, who, frankly, everybody loved. I mean, he just wasn't winning enough, but everybody loved him. Players loved him. Management loved him. Fans loved him, but, you know, he's gone. So I found that game. Anytime I get to watch a team from that I know from Hard Knocks, it's always a little more fun for me. And but anyway, yeah, it was a great night. KU was, you know, it was okay to fun to watch, I guess. You can only watch so much of it. You know the destination of where that game is headed. So, yeah, but it was a good night for sports.
It was a great night for sports, kind of. I mean, I couldn't catch myself getting too into Monday Night Football. I just, you know, like there's nothing on the line there, really. I tried, but it got started, and Matt Ryan started 0-for-5, and they had a turnover, and I was like, all right, I locked into the KU game for a little bit, and that was much better, much, much more entertaining. But yeah, you know, it was a football game. We always pay attention to football games. We won't spend a ton of time on it. What do you think of Kenny Pickett? I think Kenny Pickett's got a chance to be a starter for a while here. I think he's getting better. It's been, I think, 4 games now since he's had a turnover. I think we're beginning to see some flashes with him. The Steelers have got to get better in a few areas, but I think Kenny Pickett can be the guy for them moving forward. What do you think of him?
Well, if you remember back by week 2, I was saying that I thought he was going to be the best quarterback of the bunch that came out in that first draft. And I was high on him to begin with, and I thought they made the right decision to play him the way the Pittsburgh Steelers decided to use him, to break him in, let's get him going, you know, that kind of thing. And I thought that this was a kid, because of his Pittsburgh connections, I thought, you know, if anybody could probably handle that situation, it would probably be a kid like Kenny Pickett. I liked him from the beginning. I believe you did, too. And I'm talking about from week one, week two, week three. So we saw potential. Did we see greatness? Well, no. I mean, he's a rookie, for goodness sakes, just getting his feet wet. But we saw potential, saw leadership skills in him early on that I thought were important to any quarterback for any NFL franchise. So I liked him a lot. I think I may have liked him a little more than you. You liked him, but I think I liked him a little more than you. Not that there's anything to be said about that. You know, the jury's still out on whether he's going to be the next Johnny Unitas, for goodness sakes. But you know, he's doing well. He's not winning as many games as Coach Tomlin would like him to win or as the Pittsburgh Steelers would like to win. But, you know, you can see flashes of this kid as to what he can be, can't you? I mean, I can see potential, can't you?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah, I thought he was going to be the best in the class, too. I don't know what his ceiling is, but I think we're seeing the signs there of him being, you know, at least capable in this league. But, you know, that story, I think, will continue to develop. I don't think it's going to happen fast. It may be this time next year before we have a decent grasp on that. All right, so the other thing we were watching last night, Paul, and I would assume it was, you know, I assume it was something you paid far more attention to because I certainly did, and that's KU. So we've got, you know, KU taking on Texas Southern in what needed to be a get-right game, and that's exactly what it was. KU needed a get-right game. It was a loss in the holiday tournaments. They had a couple of games. It took a buzzer beater in one of the games. It wasn't the cleanest basketball by any means. And I've heard from some KU fans. I think there were people, I wouldn't call it panic, Paul, but I think people are hesitant to say that this team can contend to defend their national championship. I do think this team will ultimately be to that point. It was nice to see them flex a little bit and play well last night. Where are you at right now with KU?
Well,
what are we now?
Well,
8 games into the season.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm where I expected to be for the University of Kansas, and that is optimistic that they can make a run of some sort. You know, this is a team that lost such great inside presence, particularly in the paint, from a year ago, which was part of their domination and their run for last year. But, yeah, this team has to readapt, figure it out. But goodness gracious, Jalen Wilson has a lot of upside. Grady Dick, for goodness sakes, also has that same upside. I'm bullish on this team because I like the way those two play basketball with regards to ball handling, with assists, with ball movement, with everything. And even defensively, I think they're probably both a little ahead of the game for who they are and how long they've been in the program. So I like both those kids. I think the upside is good. I'm not sure that we're at a point where we can definitely say that there's going to be a defense of a national championship or that we're going to make it to a Final Four or that KU's going to make it even to an Elite Eight. I don't know that you're there. There's some growing up, some maturing that needs to be done, figuring this whole thing out. There's going to be great competition in the Big 12, so we'll see where we're at with that. K-State's going to be one of those teams that's going to provide some competition. The University of Texas, Baylor, I can go up and down the list. I don't need to do that. But this is a KU team that has some upside. I don't know, Jacob, that the upside is as high as it was last year.
Well, I don't think it is right now, but that's the issue
right now.
I don't think I think that we're being unreasonable
probably
in our expectations for November 29th.
Probably.
And maybe even better November 25th or whatever it was. Because we got to keep in mind this team lost two guys to the NBA and a center who, you know, had issues with his game was one of the top, you know, offensive true centers in college basketball the
That's
last
right.
2 years, and the offense ran through him.
That
Those guys
correct.
Are gone.
Yeah, they're gone.
Right? So it's going to take some time for other guys to be able to step into roles. Jalen Wilson is fantastic. He's going to be in the conversation for a Naismith. I think Grady Dick probably, by the end of the year, could get to that point, too.
Yes.
Oh, by the way, MJ Rice, the other big-time, highly-touted freshman, had his best game for KU last night, 19 points. He's been off and on the court a little bit early on, which certainly hasn't helped. But I think we just have to see Bill Self get a little time with the offense. We're not going to have the same kind of offense that we've had the last, gosh, what is it now, 6-7 years going from Doak through McCormick sort of back-to-back and just having those, you know, those bigs down there that we're accustomed to seeing. I don't think any of the bigs, any of the young guys, the true fives, are going to be that. I think you're going to get KJ Adams. I think as long as he can defend the position, you'll be okay. But they're going to have to get those guys ready to play defense. But the offense isn't going to come there. I don't think it's happening.
Well,
so this has to be, you know, sort of a different team. And that's okay to have a team led by guards and forwards.
I'd like to just bounce off of Grady Dick with regards to a thought for you and see what you think. Does Grady Dick remind you of anybody in particular in the NBA? Does he, at this point, have you seen him enough to say, well, you know, he kind of reminds me of somebody? Because I'm going to throw out a comment, and you can laugh at me if you want. But I think Grady Dick reminds me a little bit of Kevin Durant, body-wise, game-wise, shooting-wise. Haven't seen enough of him to play defense yet, because I think at times that there's no question in my mind Kevin Durant is undervalued as a defensive player. He can make defensive plays, and he can D up when he has to. But I guess, Jacob, is that a crazy comment?
Yeah, I mean, it is right now. If you're saying he looks a little like, you know, Kevin Durant when Kevin Durant was in college, 8 games into his career, maybe. Look, I think Grady Dick, and it's hard because we don't want to speak in, you know, these hyperboles that just seem outrageous, but we just always have to remember, and we've talked about this, Grady Dick was the National Gatorade Player of the Year. Those kinds of players are in that stratosphere, right? So I think it is okay for us to consider these things because we're almost guarded. We're almost like we're afraid to be homers on this because Grady Dick's from Wichita, right? We're almost afraid to say he could be that good because, oh, well, that's probably just because he's from here and we're biased. Well, we're going to be biased to Grady Dick, right? We watched him play high school basketball here. Like we can just come to terms with that. We're going to be fans. But I do think his pedigree is of that same sort of place. Is he going to be as good as Kevin Durant is as an NBA player? I think that's totally unreasonable to expect anybody to be because he's in the conversation for the best player in the world. But
well,
I do think Grady Dick can reach a level that he becomes the best player on this team, that he becomes an All-American, that he becomes a part of the conversation for National Player of the Year. Now, that may not happen until, you know, game 20, not game 8, but I think that that possibility's out there. And that's a part of, Paul, why I think they have a chance, because if he does get to that point at some time in this season, I think KU will have a chance to repeat. Because, you know, super freshmen don't always have guys like Jalen Wilson on the roster and guys like McCullough on the roster who didn't play last night. But guys, you know, those kinds of experienced and DeJuan Harris, Grady Dick's got so much around him that he just doesn't have the pressure to go out there and chuck it 20 times a game because that's not what they need right now. Could they use that when they hit their peak? Maybe, because they're going to have to find offense in different ways than they have in years past. It's not going to start down low. It's going to start with Jalen Wilson and Grady Dick.
And the upside on that is pretty darn good. I kind of like that. That's not too bad. You know, when you're saying that that's where it's going to start, I like where that's starting with those two young men. You know, KU is on track to be good and good for maybe a little bit of time. So, yeah, I'm with you on that, Jacob.
Well, I think Grady Dick's a one-year player. I mean, I think the NBA's going to love him. He's tall. He's athletic. He shoots the three. He gets a quick three. He, you know, guys can't really defend his three because he's so tall and he releases so quick. I don't think he's going to spend a lot of time at KU, but I think it's going to be a memorable time. And, you know, it's interesting to, and I could be wrong about this, by the way, but I think this team goes as he goes. I think it will go as he goes. If he turns into that kind of player this year, that's the ceiling. National championship, a repeat. If he doesn't, I'm not sure it's going to be there, because if it's not Grady Dick, all the pressure's on Jalen Wilson, who was 5 for 10 from 3. That was a really interesting part of last night. If he shoots that kind of clip from three, KU's going to be great. They were playing Texas Southern, though, so we'll see. But I think this team will go as far as Grady Dick takes them. And I don't think that means he has to be, you know, better than Jalen Wilson. I just think he has to be up at that level for this team to achieve its ultimate ceiling, which is a repeat of the national championship. And I do think that absolutely is still on the table for KU. I mean, we're 8 games in. They lost to Tennessee. They had a holiday week where, you know, they struggled a little bit offensively. Remember, last year's national championship team lost to Dayton in a holiday tournament, Paul. Right. Everything's fine.
It's okay. It's okay. Well, we're so early. I mean, everything's still sorting out. But no, you're exactly right. And that goes with almost every college basketball team in the country, other than maybe Houston right now at this point. You know, the way Houston's playing very well. But, I mean, yeah, that comment that you just made applies to nearly everybody.
It does, and we always do this. We overreact, and it's even more amplified now because we're in the transfer portal where so many new guys come into these teams. KU up next is Seton Hall in that Big 12 Big East showdown. That'll be on the 1st, so that comes on Thursday at 8 o'clock. You'll hear the game right here on KFH. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll preview and look ahead a little bit to the Shockers taking on Mizzou. You want to talk about a clash of styles early on in the year. This game will be fascinating to watch. We'll talk Shocker hoops. Take your calls 869-1240 when we return on Sports Daily.
Phone call is welcome. 869-1240. Sports Daily on 97.5 and 1240. KFH.
All right, welcome back. Jacob Albrock, Paul Savage. Paul can hear me now. Thank goodness. Paul, I don't know what you would do without hearing me
24/7. Well, my life would be incomplete.
All right, let's talk some more hoops here. Went through KU there in the first segment. So Wichita State has a really interesting game tonight against Mizzou. And I say it's interesting because we know this about the Shockers early in this year. They are going to be the best version of themselves when they're playing angry, defending, rebounding, you know, that tough, slow, gritty, that just seems like the recipe for the Shockers to be successful this year. At least right now it does. You know, they bounced back nicely against Tarleton State this past weekend. Now they get a home game against Mizzou. Mizzou is 7-0 this year, but they've played absolutely nobody. They've played Southern Indiana, Penn, Lindenwood, SIUE, Mississippi Valley State, Coastal Carolina, and Houston Christian. They have scored a ton of points in their wins. They've scored 97, 92, 82, 105, 83, 89, and 105 points again. They haven't played anybody. I don't know what to make of Mizzou, other than at least they're capable of going fast, right, and playing a high-tempo, score-a-ton type of offense, but they have not played a defense like Wichita State's. Wichita State, if pushed up against the wall, can they score at that clip? I'm not sure. We're going to find out. You know, San Francisco, that game was lower scoring, 67-63 in the loss. So I don't know, Paul. I kind of have to step back on this one and take a look here. But it will be a fascinating clash of styles in this game tonight against Missouri.
Well, it will be a fascinating study between two different teams, and both of them are good in certain areas and not so good in others. I know that, you know, when you look at the game against Tarleton State, you know, that was a team that, frankly, Wichita State should have put away a lot earlier than it did, and I'm not sure they ever were put away. They were still, you know, within striking distance. I'm talking about Tarleton State to Wichita State through most of the second half. So, yeah, you've got a good point there, and it's an interesting point. Here's the one thing I'll say about Missouri. They're undefeated, okay? They've played nobody, okay? I get that too. But it's still a division. It's still one of the Power Five conference members in a huge conference in a very, very good conference. So any win against anybody, a win against Vanderbilt, for goodness sakes, would be just fine if to get a win from an SEC country, from a team in the SEC. So Wichita State will have its hands full. This is a team that will have size, it will have athleticism. It's going to be a standard Power Five conference basketball team with great tradition, and obviously Wichita State, if they can beat Missouri, that's going to shake some heads. We're going to look at that team differently from here on out. And so I look at this game as huge. It's huge for the Shockers. This is a game you got to have. This will also tell you a little bit just how competitive Wichita State will be in the AAC. Don't you think that that's a possibility? Because we haven't played,
yeah.
Wichita State hasn't played anybody quite like the teams that they're going to face in the AAC. So, with that being said, it's a big game for Wichita State. And for a non-conference game, this is huge. This will inform a lot of us where we're at with Wichita State, and it will inform Wichita State is just how good are we. Can we compete with this caliber of basketball team? That's how big this game is. It's one of the biggest pre-conference games that I think Wichita State has had in the last 5 years. Maybe the biggest.
That probably is overstating a little bit for me, because I just don't know what the expectation for this team is. But as far as, you know, in relative terms to telling us something about a Shockers team, I think your trajectory is right. I think we need a game like this to give us a good gauge. I still, you know, I think I have a decent idea of what this team is. But tonight's going to tell us, right? They're playing a team that has showed us through the first, you know, month or so of the season that it's going to be a high-paced, high-octane offense. The Shockers are the exact opposite of that. And which style plays through? I'll tell you this, Paul. I just watched KU play in a holiday tournament where their higher-paced, high-octane offense played some good defenses and they struggled. So that, you know, the Shockers can look at this, I think, as a real opportunity. Mizzou's played a bunch of cupcakes and hasn't been punched in the mouth yet. Let's be the first team to punch them in the mouth. Mizzou's got a lot of the same sorts of questions. I'm sure they're all excited about their start, but they haven't played anybody yet. Mm-hmm. And, you know, whatever the Shockers end up being this year, this will be the toughest game that Mizzou has played,
right?
I would imagine.
Right.
And, you know, it's not just this game for Wichita State either. You've got Kansas State this weekend, and you've got Oklahoma State on December 17th. You've got some big ones coming up in the month of December for this team to get a feel of more of what the American's going to look like. Two Big 12 opponents, an SEC opponent. Mm-hmm. If they can get one of those games,
right,
I think we'll feel pretty good. If they can get two of them, we'll feel great. Mizzou, and the problem for me is I haven't physically sat down and watched Mizzou yet. So I can just sort of observe and see what other people are saying. But anytime you're throwing up the kind of offensive numbers they have so far, I don't care who you're playing, it kind of catches your attention. But Wichita State should revel in this. They should want this. Here comes this team. They think they're great. They're scoring a ton of points. Watch what happens when they come into our house and we show them how the Shockers play basketball. We're going to beat them up. We're going to be physical. Slow them down, play that play angry style of basketball that this team is going to have to play. I don't know what's going to happen. I you know, the line right now on BetMGM is the Shockers plus 2.5. So the Shockers are getting 2.5 at home. The over-under is at 140. That feels just about right on the money on the over-under. The Shocker unders typically are the way to go. They went way over in that game against Tarleton State. 140 is as high as you'll ever see a Shocker game. So, but when Mizzou's scoring 90 points a game, I don't, that feels probably about right. The spread at plus 2.5, your guess is as good as mine, Paul, because I have no idea. This will be fascinating for that reason. We really don't know what to expect. And, I mean, it couldn't be more polar opposites in what these two teams do. I think, Paul, that defense typically is ahead when that's the case. And defense is going to be, we think, in the favor of the Shockers today. But can they muster enough offense with that? Let's say Mizzou doesn't get to 90, but gets to 75, 15 points below some of the numbers they've been throwing up. Do you think Wichita State can get that high? They got to 83 against Tarleton, but that was against Tarleton.
Well, they're going to probably get a lot more possessions just by the nature of the way Missouri plays. So is that possible? Well, yeah, it is possible just based upon that fact alone. Now, the key, of course, for the Shockers, boy, you better defend in transition. You've got to defend. You've got to get back. You've got to do what it takes. You got to take some charges. You're going to have to defend in transition. And if you can do that against Missouri, then you'll be in pretty good shape. And the other thing is you've got to shoot. You've got to make some threes. You got to make them honor you and make you step out and play a little basketball out and away from the basket because, this is a Power Five conference basketball team. They're going to be probably a little more athletic than Central Arkansas, than possibly Grand Canyon, certainly more than Tarleton. And so this is going to be a more athletic, a more physical basketball team. So, you defend and you shoot. I guess that's the essence of basketball in a nutshell for everybody. But for the Shockers, I think everybody that has seen a game, at least on television, for the Shockers understands that against Missouri, you defend on transition, and you'll have a shot. You'll have a shot at winning that game down the stretch. Slow it down, make your possessions count. It's really not complicated for the Shockers. But, I mean, of course, everything's always complicated. Basketball is simple, but for the Shockers, they're in this game, I think, and we'll see. This is sort of the preamble for the AAC. This will tell you just how well the Shockers, this game, and I hate to put a lot on one game, this game will tell us a little about just how successful the Shockers will be in the AAC.
Yeah, I don't know how many teams stylistically are going to be like Mizzou in the AAC.
Houston is.
Maybe. Houston's good at everything.
Well,
Houston.
Yeah, good point.
I would probably take Houston off the radar.
Okay.
They're outstanding this year.
Okay, you're right.
Mizzou's not that good. I don't think. We don't know because they haven't played anybody yet. I will say this. For me, key tonight, you cannot turn the ball over.
Oh, boy. That's right.
The Shockers, I think they turned it over 12 times against Tarleton State. They cannot have a game where they turn it over a ton because when you do that against a team that can score, they're going to score in transition off those turnovers. So you've got to take care of the basketball first and foremost if you're Wichita State. That is, to me, the biggest key in this game. They're going to have to hit shots. They're always going to have to hit shots, though. I think they'll defend okay. I think they'll rebound okay, but they can't turn the ball over. If they turn the ball over, Mizzou will kill them on those transitions. I don't mean by the final margin. I just mean those turnovers will hurt more against Mizzou than they have against some of these other teams. So that's it for me. Take care of the basketball. Feels kind of like a Craig Porter game to me when he can really slow things down and take control. We'll see about that. Gus Okafor coming off the big-time performance against Tarleton State. He used some, athleticism to do that. So I'm not sure if he can continue that game after game, but we'll see. But it's a fun one. I'm really excited about it. Probably, Paul, I'm more excited about this game than any game we've seen so far. I was looking forward to the San Francisco game. San Francisco, there, the possibility exists San Francisco's better than Mizzou. But, this game, just because of the styles and how different they've been through the beginning of this season, I think it'll be fun, and I'm really, really looking forward to it. You'll hear it tonight on KYN, where you hear all the Shocker basketball games. Pre-game starts at 6 o'clock for a 7 o'clock tip at Koch Arena. Cannot wait for this one. Paul, prediction time.
This line's
2.5 to the Shockers. It's really hard. I don't know what to do. I think I lean Mizzou.
Yeah.
But I lean that with as little confidence as you could possibly have with trying to make a pick in a college basketball game in late November.
Right. How many points is the roundhouse worth? It's got
a rowdy roundhouse, which I would expect it will be tonight with Mizzou in town. Probably 4 or 5 points.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. And so I think with that being said, this will be an environment that will be so much fun. It'll be obviously a little better than Tarkleton State. You know, it was really sparse for that game. But, I mean, you know, it's a Saturday after Thanksgiving, a lot of people traveling, no student body section. I mean, so but it will be rowdy. It will be loud. It will be the Coke Arena that we all know and love and appreciate. So I, too, have a tendency to think that Missouri is probably going to eke this out and cover the point spread, probably not by a lot. I'm going to probably go with Missouri as well. I don't want to, by the way. I get no joy in that, but I think Missouri probably, I'll go ahead and give the 2.5 and take Missouri.
Yeah, I think
That's
I'm
tough.
With you, and I hope we're both wrong. I hope we're both wrong.
Bingo. Yes, sir.
And I can't wait for that to happen. I'm still cautiously, I don't know if optimistic's not the right word for Wichita State, but I'm still cautiously, you know, hopeful that this can be a really competitive team in the American games that they play. So we'll see. This will be a great test for them tonight. You'll hear it over on KYN. We'll come back, get out your red, white, and blue. We'll talk a little World Cup coming up next on Sports Daily.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It's time to throw on the red, white, and blue. Team USA, Iran, Paul. Win or go home. It's time to be obnoxious Americans today. Let's wave it around. Let's get it done. Let's get it done. We can beat Iran in soccer. Come on now.
Well, I hope so. I mean, I think... And I think the world is pulling for us. In fact, I think I heard something on some segment like a couple days ago that more people in Iran want America, the USA, to win this soccer game than they want their own country to win. Because there's some things that aren't quite perfect in Iran, if you haven't noticed. I mean, there's some problems with freedom and those kind of things. So it's very, very interesting. I hate to see a lot of this kind of stuff, take the front with regards to sports. Man, we got enough things to worry about than turning some soccer game into some big, international conspiracy or fracas or whatever you want to call it with regards to, Iran versus the United States. Ooh, at least we're not.
Well, the U.S.-Iran rivalry goes all the way back to Hulk Hogan and Sergeant Slaughter taking on the Iron Sheik, right? Well, this is a deep-rooted rivalry.
Where did you pull that out? That's tremendous. I'm giving you a round of eyes.
It is.
That's the best thing you've ever said.
This is storybook stuff here. I mean, whether you want to have fun with it and call back to the Iron Sheik days of the WWE, or you want to, look at it just simply as the U.S. needs a win to advance in the World Cup, or as some people will do, if you want to look at this politically, you can go ahead and do that. I try not to do that kind of stuff, but, there's a lot here with this match to get into emotionally, and I'm there. Like, that's the thing. For me, I have an appreciation for soccer. I don't watch it at all other than typically when the U.S. plays in the World Cup and the U.S. women's national team is dominating in whatever they're dominating in. That's about it for me as far as watching it. And, I hope that I have an opportunity to lock into this thing and watch most of it today. We're, life is so busy right now, but boy, I want to be locked into this because I think this kind of stuff is awesome. I wish that at this stage of this tournament, we were in a more cozy position than needing a win only to advance in the World Cup. But, Paul, for the 2 hours or so that this will be on, that's as good as it gets when you consider everything going in, the team that you're playing, the stakes of the match, all of these things. This is when it's fun to get behind Team USA in the World Cup and hope that they can continue to build some momentum here ahead of the World Cup coming to the United States. But this is it. It's going to take all your obnoxious patriotism from abroad here in the States. We got to send that energy overseas to Qatar and get these guys through. We got to have it. We got to get it done today.
Well,
no draws allowed. This is how it should be when Americans are involved. Well, no draws here. Win only.
Well, I'm with you, and yet, on the other hand, I look at the way this is working out with Qatar or Qatar. I'm still not sure how to pronounce that. I'm not offending anybody. I don't want to offend anybody. I don't know for sure. But you go to the soccer segment on ESPN, the first headline, Jacob, is, and you're very, very right, and that's how you should watch it. Here's the first first headline on soccer for ESPN. Qatari official puts World Cup deaths between 400 and 500. Most of those people are workers, people that Qatar brought in to work this thing. They've worked them to death. They've worked 400 to 500 people to death. I'm stunned at this, and we're talking about soccer. So I get it. That's what we want. That we are sports guys. You and I are not political guys. We don't have a political talk show. Although if we did, you and I would be great at it, don't you think? I think it'd be historic if we ever did it. But something, this is going to be the way this is. And the fact that this tournament is being held, where it's being held, all kinds of things going on. So, I want the United States to win, but I want the United States to win if we're playing England. So there you go. But,
right.
But yeah, I'm with you on that.
With you.
But, what about, this is politicized whether we like it or not, whether we want it to be or not.
It can be. Look, I'm going to have more fun with it. I'm going to remember back to rivalries, for my kid that are more storybook with pro. Like, I don't know anything about anybody, quite frankly, here that plays for either team. I don't know the backstories of the players on the field. So I'm going to root for my country. I'm patriotic just by nature. And I'm not going to sit here and like try and paint the players that play for Iran as some big evil monster. I doubt that that's true. But it doesn't matter. The U.S. has to win a game to advance in the World Cup. And it, you know, it is going to be, I think, really intense. So I try to understand, you know, from a soccer perspective, like what's on the line here. And Iran, I believe, Iran can advance with a tie, if I understand this correctly. So that's going to be interesting, Paul, because they can advance with a tie, which means they can, we see this in soccer, right? Like they can just really lock down defensively and try and just keep America from scoring. That'll advance them. So that adds another element to it as well. The U.S. has to play a team that doesn't have to win to advance. They can tie. Tie's not on the table for the U.S. So it creates a totally different atmosphere. That aggressive, you know, trying to score goals kind of soccer, which to me is the best soccer. If you're watching as such a casual observer as I am, I love when you see teams so clearly trying to score because it can bite you in the butt on the other side. And you just, every time they take a shot, you're on pins and needles because you know that they got to get through. I love it. That match is at 1 o'clock here locally. So we'll see, Paul. Prediction time. I think we're going to get it. I think the U.S. is going to get it, and I think the U.S. is going to advance. What do you think?
I think there's the possibility that that does happen. I believe that there's probably a number of guys that play for Iran that, you know, are under the gun, under the, you know, I mean, literally. I mean, when I say under the gun, I mean under the gun to play well. That puts a lot of pressure on certain people. I mean, yeah, I think United States wins this, although I don't know a lot about soccer. Jad is my go-to guy, and I asked Jad, I said, Jad, I may need some help on this segment. I may need you to plop on and participate and bail my little butt out when it comes to, you know, things all soccer. And he said, well, I don't know that much about the World Cup. He's more of a what's the league, Jad, over in
Premier League.
Yeah, he's a Premier League guy. But he still knows more about this than I do. But at the same time, England takes on Wales this afternoon as well. But all eyes from the world are on Iran and the USA.
Yeah.
And I say Iran because did you catch the press conference with regards to one of the United States players being schooled by an Iranian press guy who says, you know, you don't pronounce it Iran, we're Iran, not Iran. And the kid apologized.
Iran.
Yeah, we're Iran, not Iran.
It's fine. It just adds a little fuel to the fire.
It does.
The American soccer player in the clip you're mentioning handled it with tremendous grace. And we will we'll get there. 1 o'clock. 1 o'clock, that game gets underway, that match. And the U.S. is going to take him to task. And we're going to advance in this thing, and we're all going to celebrate together. And for 2.5 hours, we're all going to be soccer fans, which is why the World Cup's cool.
Right.
And it's really cool when the U.S. is involved and relevant, I should say. And they are in this one. All right, we're going to take a break, get into the next hour. We'll start things off with Dan Israel, executive producer of the Chiefs Radio Network. The Chiefs making some roster moves ahead of the weekend here, reacting to some injuries. So we'll get into all of it when we return on Sports Daily.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.